DeepEnglish.com. Messages from Beyond, Active Listening, Normal Speed. Harry Houdini was a world-famous escape artist. He once escaped from a steel and glass coffin hung upside down and filled with water. Yet when his mother died in 1920, the great Houdini couldn't find a way to escape his own heartbreak and loss. In desperation, the legendary showman turned to spiritualism, a system of belief based on communicating with the dead. Houdini was a hard man to convince there was such a thing as life after death. Before he made his name as an escape artist, Houdini and his wife Bess often gave fake public seances to put bread on the table. He knew all about the trickery used by mediums. However, Houdini was a desperate man and longed to communicate with his mother beyond the grave. His search for hard and fast proof was all in vain. He said that all the mediums he met were human leeches. Houdini was good friends with Sherlock Holmes author Arthur Conan Doyle. However, their friendship ended after Conan Doyle's wife, Jean, claimed to have made contact with Houdini's dead mother through a technique called automatic writing. Jean swore the 15 pages of grammatically correct English was a real message from the afterlife. Houdini dismissed it publicly. He said that while his mother had mastered 5 languages, English was not one of them. Houdini soon began to expose fraudulent mediums. He declared war on those who exploited people's grief to turn a buck. He hounded the scam artists at every chance. His experiences didn't completely close Houdini's mind to the possibility of an afterlife, though. Before he died in 1926, he made a pact with his wife Bess that, if possible, he would make contact with her from the other side. He created a secret code only she would know. After Houdini died, Bess offered $10,000 to anyone who could help contact her husband. In 1928, a man named Arthur Ford claimed he had received a message from Houdini. Bess announced the message used the secret code and was genuine. Bess held the last official Houdini seance on Halloween in 1936. It was broadcast via radio across the world. Houdini was a no-show, and Bess agreed it was time to pull the plug on the seances. As the last seance reached its conclusion, a terrible storm raged. Thunder and lightning filled the skies. Many thought it was Houdini's last act from beyond the grave. Others thought it was mere coincidence. Attempts to make contact with the dead have existed throughout history in most cultures, but it isn't just about talking to the dead. We want to know that we will live on after death, or at least be remembered. One way to be remembered is to donate your organs after death to someone in need. In addition to giving a sick person a new lease on life, some people think an organ transplant can also transform the recipient's personality. Take the case of 24-year-old Australian David Walters. He awoke from a heart transplant to find he had suddenly developed an insatiable craving for a certain flavor of chip. When he tracked down the family of his heart donor, he learned that the 18-year-old donor had enjoyed eating that flavor daily. In 2014, British man Kevin Mashford underwent a life-saving heart transplant. After the operation, he asked hospital staff for a stationary exercise bike and started to cycle every day. A couple of months after leaving the hospital, Kevin purchased a road bike for the first time in his life. Before his transplant, Kevin hadn't spent hardly any time on 2 wheels, but now he was hooked on his new hobby. Kevin received his heart from a man called John, a keen cyclist who was killed in a collision. Kevin says he took up cycling to honor John's memory. He doesn't believe he inherited a part of John's personality, but some people do say it's possible. There have been over 70 cases of transplant patients supposedly inheriting personality traits of their donors. Sonny Graham's experience was not as positive as Kevin's or as harmless as David's. The American man was on death's door when a donor's heart saved his life. The heart had belonged to a man called Terry Cottle. Terry was 33 years old when he died from a self-inflicted gunshot to the head. After the operation, Sonny reached out to Terry's widow, Cheryl, to thank her. Something strange happened when they met. He said, I felt like I had known her for years. I couldn't keep my eyes off her. The two fell in love and got married. 12 years after the operation, Sonny's life ended in similar circumstances to that of his donor. He shot himself with a shotgun. His suicide was unexpected. Friends and family could not explain it. Most people would say it was simply a terrible coincidence, but others believe the heart beating in Sonny's chest influenced his actions. Transplant operations are commonplace, but there have been few studies on what, if anything, is transmitted alongside human cells. Oxford University's head of transplantation, Professor Peter Friend, says, My personal gut feeling is we have no scientific rationale to support this, but we should also be open-minded about things we can't explain. Humans have always tried to transcend death or at least be remembered, but who will remember us when there's no one left to remember? Between our propensity for war and environmental destruction, some say that humanity's days are numbered. And even if we do evolve to a more peace-loving species, our Earth has an expiration date. Somewhere between 1.75 billion and 3.25 billion years from now, the Earth will be so close to the sun that all water will evaporate. And no water means no life. Perhaps by that time, humanity will have left our earthly home, but probably we will be just a cosmic memory. The only proof that humans ever existed will be two golden records created in 1977. These two records are messages sent deep into space in hopes of one day reaching alien life. They are flying aboard the Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 NASA spacecraft that left Earth in the summer of 1977. The Voyager spacecraft's mission was to record and send back data and images of Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. They have now long passed these planets. The spacecraft and its golden records are traveling at over 60,000 kilometers an hour. To be more precise, that is 17 kilometers a second. The Voyager 1 is now 20 billion kilometers away from Earth and has left our solar system. Amazingly, the onboard 1970s-built computers are still in touch with Earth. The plutonium batteries aboard the Voyager 1 and 2 will only last another 10 years or so. But even without power, they will continue their speedy journey across the universe. The contents of the golden records contain spoken greetings in 55 languages. In Arabic, it says, Greetings to our friends in the stars. May time bring us together. In English, it says, Hello from the children of planet Earth. And in Amoy, it says, Friends of space, how are you all? Have you eaten yet? Come visit us if you have time. The records also contain 90 minutes of music. Space was limited on the record, so the producers of the record couldn't do justice to the depth of human musical expression. They did do their best to choose a selection of different styles, including indigenous music to classical music to rock and roll. The Beatles agreed to have the song, Here Comes the Sun, on the record, but it didn't make the cut. Apparently, their stingy record company was worried that aliens would get to listen for free, so they refused. The record also includes sounds of Earth from wind to waves to heartbeats to whale songs and even the sound of a kiss. It also has brainwave recordings of a woman contemplating the history of humanity and falling in love. And finally, there are images expressing our knowledge of the stars, chemistry, and biology, as well as photos of nature and humans. Engraved on the record cover are image-based instructions on how to play the record and a map showing our position in the universe. Not everyone was on board with the map, though. Some fear that giving away our location to a possibly hostile alien race might not be the smartest thing to do. U.S. President Jimmy Carter had a more hopeful view of future aliens receiving our message. He included the following message on the Voyager spacecraft. This is a present from a small, distant world, a token of our sounds, our science, our images, our music, our thoughts, and our feelings. We are attempting to survive our time so we may live into yours. We hope someday, having solved the problems we face, to join a community of galactic civilizations. This record represents our hope and our determination and our goodwill in a vast and awesome universe.